My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 1:17 a.m. in your subconscious, and you're listening to Night Call. Hello, and welcome back to Night Call, a call-in show for our dystopian reality. I am in L.A. I am Tess Lynch, and with me are
Molly Lambert and
Emily Yoshida.
Today, we are going to be taking some calls and emails about dreams, about pyramids. But first, let's check in. We are recording on Friday. The election has not been called. Maybe by the time this is released, it will have been. How are you guys feeling?
We should be super specific. We are recording it. Friday is now 10:57 a.m. Pacific time. Because who knows what could happen in the rest of Friday. Friday could be an interesting day.
You never know. Feels like there's three more plot twists.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be tons of recounts at this point, it looks like, or at least one in Georgia, probably, and possibly in Pennsylvania. But I guess we'll see how that shakes out. It's just been, we've been living in a real liminal state for the last few days. And I think it's making everybody a little bit crazy right now.
We were in a liminal state already. So this is like a liminal state inside a liminal state.
Yeah.
Real Tenet hours.
We didn't need to see Tenet in theaters. We're living it.
Emily, you had champagne that is waiting or waiting to not be uncorked.
This is my one act of I guess, optimism, even though, you know, I could go on and on forever about how I'm feeling a very like unsatisfactory, like it's not fun, but I do feel a degree of vindication about how close this ended up being just because of how many people yelled at me about like how I was being overly pessimistic about Joe Biden's chances of being president because like the poll, he's ahead so far in the polls in Wisconsin and stuff. And I was like, guys, why are you looking at polls? Like we've done this already, but I digress. I could yell forever about that. But yeah, I did buy a bottle of champagne on election day, or it's Prosecco, but whatever, same effect. And I wasn't going to spend that much money on a Biden presidency, honestly. But, you know, just to have in the back of the fridge, just in case there's a more like an end of a presidency to celebrate.
That's that austerity champagne socialism.
Yeah. Prosecco socialism.
Yeah. Prosecco socialism's okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's very strange. Obviously, everybody kind of feels this way, to keep yourself from having feelings as you watch something that affects you so much. I mean, on election night, I started to watch and then got deja vu and was like, why am I putting myself through this? Mm-hmm. Like, we won't know tonight. I don't want to have that like horrible dip into anxiety and despair and then the slow climb back up to like, maybe it's okay. So I went to bed at like 10, very well rested. And it's been happening again and again where I'm like, I could stay up and watch this play out, but I would really love to just not do that and just hope it plays out in our favor.
Yeah.
Last time, 4 years ago, I made like a huge dinner. I may have even talked about this in the podcast before, but I made a roast chicken and like all of this stuff. And then I threw it in the trash when the polls changed. And then I was like so upset with myself because I was like, you should have just saved the chicken. And it became like a compounding thing of like, oh, I was so self-indulgent. It just, whatever. I don't want to do any
of that
again.
Sounds like a great New Yorker short story.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
The roast chicken in the trash.
I like wanted to go to bed at like 6 p.m. for sure.
Yeah.
And just go into a Valley of the Dolls medically induced coma for a couple weeks and come out the other side. But that wasn't an option. So I ended up going over to a friend's yard and seeing a few friends and hanging out together. And that was actually the best thing I could have possibly done. I know it's not an option for everybody, but just like being around other people who are not that excited about a Joe Biden presidency, but are, you know, nonetheless hopeful for a not Trump presidency.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say that I'm not excited for a Joe Biden presidency just because I want to get out of this situation so badly that I can't even take any pleasure in like rehashing all of the feelings I had during the primary. I think it's like we have to kind of get over it. And
I just feel everybody kind of like waiting on this precipice, being like, I'm not going to say any shit about Joe Biden. I'm not going to say any shit about Joe Biden. As soon as they call it for him, or, you know, maybe as soon as he's actually inaugurated, we'll see how the next few months go as far as calling the presidency.
I think it's okay.
Whatever happens. But I'm just saying, like, once it's certain that he's going to be our president, if it's certain, that's when you just let it all out and be like,
that's
okay,
it.
You motherfucker, you are accountable to us now.
Yep.
We helped you get this stupid job.
I feel like it's fine to do that now because I feel like anything else is like too superstitious of like, we can't say anything bad or it'll flip back the other way. I do think that it was crazy to see the news channels be like, we can cut Trump's mic. That was the most bonkers part of yesterday to me. Was they all cut his mic during the speech because he was saying stuff that's not true, and realizing like they could have done this,
could have done that the whole
time, but they didn't because they wanted access or ratings or whatever. So
it's like the same, it's like a bigger version of like people, you know, turning on Harvey Weinstein or something once he's like no longer that powerful. It's like once the tide starts to turn and somebody doesn't hold the sway that they have, then you can undermine them in a way that feels more just.
There was a story about Trump calling Rupert Murdoch because Fox called Arizona for Biden, and not everybody did, but the AP did. And
AP and Fox News did, yeah.
And so now people think that Fox might call it first because they're just like showing Trump that like they have more power than him. They are more important than him, which is true. But also it makes me get scared about the like super soldier, racist, Nazi man they're going to come out with for the next election.
Yeah.
Imagine Trump, but like competent and like with the facade of like a politician. It'd be terrifying.
Yeah. Like in many ways, Trump is not at all the ideal figurehead for this model of republicanism. And it's like kind of been the only thing that's kept everything from.
Yeah, because he's not a true believer. He like doesn't believe any of the stuff, I think. Not that the others aren't hypocrites, but like, I for sure don't think he actually is pro-life. He like clearly isn't a religious person. You know, there's a bunch of things. And also, like, I'm afraid for the, like, everyone being ready to make him into a clown man, a George W. Bush, like, harmless clown man when he's not president anymore.
I don't know if I think that'll happen.
I don't either. I think the reason that George W. Bush is able to be a toothless clown man now, and people seem to have this collective amnesia about how truly damaging and evil his presidency was, is just because there wasn't the same day-to-day interfacing with it that we have now. Like, every single day, if you're at all paying attention to any current events, and not even necessarily on social media, although that's the way that most people are experiencing it, like, it's just like having, like, just be having your head in a vice for the last 4 years. And I think that I've been thinking a lot about, like, how that's going to affect our generation and the younger generation going forward, like this version of reality that we've been living in, unless it just gets worse, which it could.
I mean,
well, speaking of weird versions of reality, Emily shared with us,
oh my God,
a very, very disturbing TikTok.
I mean, it's one thing when you like are looking around Twitter on election night, perhaps, despite your better judgment, and going down threads of pro-term people or whatever, bots and all of the above, and just seeing, you know, the MAGA rhetoric, which we've all become so familiar with up until now mixed with like this sort of delegitimizing the election. But like, I stumbled to a completely other wing of weird right wingy conservative, like semi magical thinking religious Twitter.
it's right wing drama kid Twitter.
TikTok. It's like Christian drama kid Twitter.
Why don't you explain what it is, and then we'll talk about our reactions to it.
Okay, so I and the context in which I found this was that it was retweeted by Perfume Genius, who I follow, great follow also, but he retweeted Andrea Russet, who I guess is like an artist, like a music artist. She's got 7.1 million followers, so obviously I'm too old to know who she is, but my mutual follows include Marshmallow and anyway, she retweeted this thing, this clip of a TikTok saying, how the fuck is this real? And this is a TikTok from a user that goes by, it's Taylor Rousseau. And it's this incredibly dramatic, complete with visual effects, makeup, and a very dramatic soundtrack of some kind of like very brooding Christian rock, it seems like, of her enacting this scenario in which she's being asked to by the Joe Biden police state to get a chip implanted in her arm that will protect her from COVID. But her knowing that this is the mark of the beast, as we all know, obviously a vaccine is going to be the mark of the beast. She resists it and is killed by the Biden state for her resistance. But then she goes to heaven and is blessed by God for, you know, doing the right thing in her life on earth. It ends with her in heaven. But she also gets like punched by like off screen. Like, so it's all on this girl's face. And so it's like her doing this acting and like it's subtitled, but she's like lip syncing to the song and getting like punched by somebody off screen and blood is coming down her face and she's all bruised up because she's refusing to get the vaccine. It's kind of like the ultimate, like, stop hitting yourself of, yes, like, of like right-wing conspiracy type stuff. It's like, it's like truly like punching yourself in the face to own the libs or something, but like highly dramatized. It's wild. And this was posted by Andrea Russet, and the responses are shockingly in support of this narrative, and kind of saying, how could you make fun of this women's religious beliefs. Also, we all know that like the vaccine is the mark of the beast, and she has a point, and people need to be more aware of this and not make fun of Taylor Rousseau for this video, which just sent me down a wormhole.
Yeah, that's pretty emblematic of a lot of the realizations over the past few days in terms of how many people believe crazy, awful shit.
I will say that I've seen a lot of stuff. I only see TikTok through Twitter because we are not on TikTok. Could be if the Nightcall Hive demands it, but seems just like overwhelming to me still. I like having it like curated to me by Twitter. Get the greatest hits. But I've seen all these things that are like really theater kiddie, people doing fake scenarios. It's like they're making up dystopian novels and acting it out. So that's what I thought this was at first. I didn't think it was religious. I thought it was.
But it is that. It's based on a real conspiracy.
Did you guys see there's like this Michael Bay produced movie coming to Netflix soon that is basically.
Oh, yeah. Songbird.
About it takes place in like the world where there's COVID-29 or something. It's like the COVID has gone up to COVID-50.
He described it as Romeo and Juliet, but set in a pandemic. I mean, it's like, it's a love story, guys.
It's a love story. Like, man. It's Hot Archie.
Archie in it. Oh my God.
The people who set out the stream to pirate that are doing the Lord's work. Because I was like, I want to be able to dunk on this having seen it, but I refuse to spend a red cent on watching it.
It's going to be a Netflix movie, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they were shooting it now.
And there was a do not work order that the union put out because they were not, I think, observing correct protocols for COVID.
Well, I'm shocked that this libertarian movie that's all about the big government coming to get you and force you to take the vaccine, the chip vaccine or whatever, wouldn't obey union protocols.
Yeah.
Shocking.
It's kind of tailor-made, like, for, I don't know, like Hunger Games fans or something. Because it's just like, oh, like what could be more ominous than the government putting a chip in you? The whole 666 thing, though, is sort of like maybe beyond my pay grade. It's some revelation shit, but like I've been trying to read some blogs, and most like I will say to the credit of a lot of like Christian blogs and stuff, and like academic. Some like vaguely academic blogs that I've been looking at, most of them are like dispelling this. They're just saying there's nothing here. But it some people are saying that this got started with Kanye West talking about the vaccine and you know, supposing that there might be a chip that they would put in people's arms and that it would be like the mark a mark of evil.
I just think all these things line up is like fundies and people that don't want big government involved in their lives in any way, even when they would be helping you.
The acting out of the persecution is just so wild to me. And I think we've like seen this so many times. We're going to see so much more of it, especially like if the election is called for Biden.
Racist white people think they're being persecuted.
Yeah.
They really believe this.
And their speech is always under threat when, you know.
Right.
Obviously, this is not the case because we hear from them all the time.
Right. And it's also like it's not just on the right. Like, obviously, there's like, you know, centrists who are like, we're being, you know, there's a lot of people that are pushing back against progress in various ways or being like, let's keep it room temperature, folks, which is like nothing is ever going to be room temperature again. So we got to go with that instead. I feel like people always think it's the end of the world, though, right?
I think with more frequency lately, and I think with good reason.
Yeah.
But a lot of hard evidence to support that one as opposed to the COVID beast conspiracy.
Beast chip.
Can't these people find out about like Prop 22 and be like,
oh God,
it's a conspiracy to like turn workers into machines.
That would have been the perfect way to direct conspiracy theory energy. It was such a lost opportunity, you know, because it's you know, when people would point out like follow the money on Prop 22, people were convinced. It was just that like the ad campaign was too overwhelming and, you know, some people just fell for it. But that's also LA prop, California props. So
prop talk.
Prop talk.
That's a bonus episode.
Yes, exactly.
Prop that's talk. The LA podcast crossover episode.
Exactly.
Hot prop talk.
We should take a break, and then when we come back, we will have some Pyramid Pals and dreams.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
True behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a night call about pyramids in Brazil.
Hi, night call. This is Rebecca. It's 3:20 in São Paulo, Brazil. I'm calling about a cult, but also pyramids. So this is my second voicemail because the other one was too long. So I'll just say that the planned city, Brasilia, which is the capital of Brazil, planned by with Kanye Meyer, the modernist architect, has always been intriguing to me because I think it's beautiful, but some people say there's some weird energy around it because it's made of concrete and all buildings have some sort of triangle base. And the entire city is planned to be without any corners, so everything is kind of rounded. And if you look from above, it's shaped as an airplane. So all of this is already creepy, but I was browsing the International Film Festival of São Paulo catalog, and I found a documentary that is about spirituality around Brasilia. And I found out about this cult called Down Valley, and it's really fascinating. It was founded by a medium in the 1960s, and she was called Tia Neiva. And the cult is a mix of spirituality and Egyptian religion, like deities. And I don't know much about it. I'm sending you the English Wikipedia page for it. I found it fascinating. They wear like very, very colorful clothes. And they do kind of like very choreographed rituals. I really think you guys should look into it. Hope you have a good night. Bye.
Thank you for that night call all the way from Brazil. That was very exciting. It's always really fun to hear from our listeners who are not neighbors.
Night call, come to Brazil.
We came to Brazil.
I am looking at a National Geographic article about this, about Don Valley, this cult.
I weirdly know a lot about Brasilia because I had a boyfriend who was really obsessed with it because it is so weird and it is very beautiful.
Brasilia looks rad and mm-hmm. It is also very scary.
Yeah. He ended up going there eventually. He made a pilgrimage to Brasilia. And apparently now it is weird, or not weird, I mean dystopian, in the way that everything is dystopian, in that it's like this dream city, but it's kind of, you know, become less shiny as time has passed. And
yeah,
I believe they have a homelessness epidemic in Brazil, as they do everywhere else. So there are, I think, encampments like around some of these crazy buildings, which, you know, just that kind of thing, like in downtown LA, where there's like these huge, modern towers and nobody living in them, and then people living mm-hmm. on the streets below them. It's just feels very dystopian, mm-hmm. Futuristic, Blade Runner-y.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that New Age people also are into this city because it has no corners. But it just fits in with our general buildings in more interesting shapes than squares.
Our deep dive into the overlooked buildings in other shapes than squares market.
Hey, Pyramid Palace has been a huge hit.
It has.
Had no idea when we started, but we've all had like a lifelong interest in pyramids. I wanted to be an Egyptologist for a while. I took an Egyptology class in college that was so interesting that I almost failed. I had to drop.
Wait, it was so interesting that you almost failed?
Yes, because like I don't have a brain for dates at all or maps. So I kept like failing all the quizzes because they were like, what, you know, draw a map of Egypt in this year, this era, you know, and I could not do that. But everything I learned in the class was like incredibly fascinating. And it also ended up being about the history of Egyptology and, you know, sort of the great era of looting by the British Museum and like what's happening now with that stuff, where artifacts are being repatriated back to where they belong in Egypt.
Yeah. Well, just to get back to the Valley of the Dawn for a bit, I would highly recommend looking this up just strictly for like style points, because the outfits that the practitioners wear when they're doing their ceremonies are like very rad. They look very much like costumes from a Jodorowsky film or something. Very like colorful, blocky, kind of like Godspell-ish.
That's also what Brasilia feels like to me. It just feels like, yeah, like it's built to be the backdrop like Alphaville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And their beliefs seem very complicated, but one of them, I like the kind of balancing out of a cult that believes that rather than say Egypt being built by aliens, which as we've I think discussed is basically racist as conspiracy theories go, they just believe that Jesus was an alien, which I'm into that one.
I'm super into that.
There's a lot of Jesus as an alien, and somebody else wrote us about the Raelians, and we'll get into them sometime soon. But I totally get down with the Jesus was an alien. That makes Jesus make so much sense.
Yeah.
He's just Superman then, which is fine. Like that all, that's like the joining of superhero weirdness and religious weirdness that just, two tastes that taste fine together.
Yeah, please look up the Temple of Don Valley because it is also very Jodorowsky. It is a colorful labyrinth.
Yeah, the colors are great. Like, because Brasilia is also pretty like monochrome, which is like mm-hmm. one of the reasons I think it looks so pretty, especially now that it's getting old and like there are like cracks in a lot of the concrete structures and like moss and kind of wear on them. Like, I think it looks really, it's aging very well from a purely aesthetic standpoint. But the Don Valley stuff is like mega color pops, like just very polyphonic spree.
Yeah. And this religion was started in 1969.
And you can tell.
That's where it stays. And I like that it was started by Tia Neva, was an ex-truck driver, is how she's described.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Well, hot tip on the Pyramid Palace. Thank you so much for that call.
Yeah. Yeah.
We also have a voice memo from Patrick.
Hi, Night Call. This is Patrick in Salt Lake City. I wanted to tell you about another pyramid, the Sumum Temple here in Salt Lake. It's located right in the middle of a normal neighborhood. It's about a 40-foot wide pyramid. I think it's about 25 feet tall. It's built by the Sumum, which is a new religious movement, which is heavily influenced by ancient Egyptian aesthetics. Unlike most pyramids these days, this one actually has mummies in it. Sumum's founder was mummified and placed into a gold leaf sarcophagus, and a handful of cats, dogs, and other animals have also been mummified and encased in a bronze sculpture. Sumum offers this service, mummification, to human and animal customers alike, if you are ever in the market. If you ever want to get lost down a very Night Call rabbit hole, check out Sumum's website at sumum.us, S-U-M-M-U-M. There's pictures of the mummies, including the animals and including the process. Nothing too gruesome, but they do show the animals wrapped in bandages and getting ready to go into a bronze sculpture. So it's pretty interesting.
Boy, is it.
Oh my
this
God,
is
yeah.
Fascinating.
Never heard of this before in my life.
I definitely have come across this before on my Wikipedia travels through the pyramid section and maybe the new religious section. Super fascinating. Also fascinating that it's Salt Lake City based because, you know, Mormonism is essentially a new religious movement. It is much less old than people think it is. And when you go into the actual teachings of Joseph Smith and stuff, it is all like incredibly nutty and involves like a lizard coming and talking to him on his windowsill. So,
hell yeah.
Great promo for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I'm curious what it is about Salt Lake City.
Patrick included some pictures from the website, and there's a picture. His caption is, "Inside the pyramid, it looks like your aunt's living room circa 1995, except that there are human and animal mummies inside of those sarcophagi." It is the strangest mix of like aesthetics I've seen. I don't know, guys. Would you want to be mummified?
Sure.
You would?
I don't know. I mean, it takes up an awful lot of room, but it seems more...
That's my problem.
Ecologically sound than like modern traditional burial. Like just, you know, let a lot of bandages do the work of all those chemicals or something. It could be cool to be a mummy. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I would do the mushroom suit.
If I were mummified, I would not want to be stored at the Summum Temple. I believe their website is definitely worth a look.
I took a cool art class when I was a kid where we made little Egyptian tombs and we made little clay mummies and bandaged them and then put them in made little sarcophagi for them.
I just don't trust this Summum organization on being like on top of their body preservation tech. Like it all looks a little bit janky.
Well, it feels like the cryogenically freezing people a little bit too. It does feel like there's something very like 70s altered states about it.
Well, it has a DIY vibe. That's the off-putting thing.
and you know how sometimes, like, I don't know, you can judge an organization by whether or not you feel like they have the means and technology to make an airtight chamber. That's like something I always think about. But yeah, I like all religions, can they make an airtight chamber or not? I don't think that they can. I think that there's going to be some unpleasantness with this body at some point down the line for them being mummified in their temple.
Okay, but if they're using like ancient mummification techniques, like those do work.
But are they? I don't trust them to be on. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that they're doing it right. Also, their pyramid looks like a storage container. Like the only thing that makes it not look like an extra space storage facility is that it's a pyramid. Other than that, it just looks like, yeah, where you would keep your records or something.
Or your mummies.
Or your mummies. Or your relatives and pets. Like
some mums, some mummies. I think that's what it is, right? Some mums, yes. Some mummies.
Some mums. We cracked it. So aside from pyramids, we have been putting out calls for your dreams. We wanted to hear about your dreams and your, you know, all matters of your subconscious. Just felt like, you know, as we near the end of a super surreal year, why not take a full bath in the subconscious? And we got some great ones from you so far. So we're going to do a little dream mail. But this first email comes from JP, who says, I'm responding to your call for prophetic dreams. It happened about 5 or 6 years ago, and I've only ever told a few people. I remember being taken by someone to a high cliff across from a tall, bare mountain. Suddenly, lightning shot out of the gray clouds, striking the rock face in an explosion of fire and smoke. As the dust plume settled, I saw a list of 13 names, and I wept as I instantly and intuitively understood that these were the names of the 13 families that secretly control the world. It was at that moment that I woke up, not remembering a single one of them. To this day, I've tried, but nothing has come to me. Oh, well. This is a great dream. You got to remember, you got to do some hypnosis and figure out what those names are.
Definitely. Yeah, I think this sounds close to like some of the bad conspiracy theory things of the 13 families who control the world. But I just really like the idea of like being in a dream and there's an explosion and then these names appear before you and you just break down into sobs.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, it's important.
Yeah. It just makes me think about in Boogie Nights when Dirk has the dream where his name reveals itself in neon.
Yes. Yes.
It's like with an explosion.
Well, this also makes me think of the, I think it's more or less true, but like all dream things, it's like, no, it's never a science. So we don't really know. But this idea that like you can't read anything in a dream.
Yeah.
Right. Or you can't remember anything you read.
Yeah. Which I think mostly just means you can't read anything in a dream, which is very strange. I would love to have somebody come on and explain that for us. Like, why does written language not make it through?
I don't know. Do you remember seeing billboards before you could read?
Yes.
Yeah.
And being like, those are
I know what that
and
says.
Like,
yeah.
I will know someday what that means. I feel like it's like that.
I remember feeling like I could read long before I could. So I think I was just like looking at words and making up what they meant, you know?
Right.
Like, that's the thing that kids do a lot. They quote unquote read a book, which is always very adorable. the reading thing, like, you know, if you were to get some kind of cryptic prophetic prophecy in a dream, like doing it in writing feels like the most obscured way to get it. Like, how would you would have to hear the voice of something. I feel like sounds make it through really well.
The idea of it being writing, though, is so interesting because of the idea of like language being this great evolutionary leap forward that, you know, goes back to apes and came to us.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even when you see it with children, like my brother's kids now, it's like they make this leap all of a sudden where their brain can suddenly read and process language. And it's so crazy. So the idea that there's like a next level of that, that the human brain can't reach yet, but possibly could.
I think the 13 names can probably...
Right.
You can probably access that.
If we could just read the 13 names, then we would become like the super, you know, we would reach the
maybe the 14th, 15th, and 16th names right here.
One of them is Kardashian, I'm afraid.
I think it's like Bezos. I mean, I feel like it's all the billionaires, right?
I would like to propose we take another night email about dreams.
Yeah.
But I'm going to insist on reading this one because I'm obsessed with it. And it is about exploding head syndrome. This comes from Natalie. Hi, Night Call. Long time, first time. I've recently learned that an occurrence I've had with my dreams the last couple of years has a really concerning name and is actually a diagnosable thing. Exploding head syndrome. Exploding head syndrome is when you have auditory hallucinations while you are asleep. For me, they first manifested as dreams where someone would be knocking on my front door forcefully, like a cop. And this would jolt me awake as I truly believed I heard knocking. I would then panic search my house to try to find the source. They occurred a few more times until I started to realize they weren't real. I have since had some that were just loud crashes or like something crushing inside my head, like I was gnashing on rocks. They always wake me up and cause a panic response as waking up to any sudden loud noise would. They first started after a vacation in Spain when someone broke into our Airbnb after knocking where I was alone taking a nap. So I initially thought they were a PTSD response. But in reading more about them, I think they might be more related to a head injury I sustained in a car accident the same year or a stress response from either of those things. Who knows? But knowing they are a real thing that happens to other people too has helped in my panic response and seemed to calm them down. Dang.
Yeah.
Exploding head syndrome, you guys.
Have you guys ever experienced anything like that?
No.
Ow. Auditory hallucination. I've had like some weird during migraines. I get an aura where I can hear, but it's not when I'm asleep. But I get like some auditory stuff and some visual stuff in like the aura, which was super scary when it first happened. But I cannot imagine being, I guess in a way, you know, after earthquakes, I feel like sometimes I have that jolted awake by like, I think I hear some loud noise or I feel a jolt or something. Yeah.
In your dreams, like when you're asleep?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that one a lot. Don't you like the following dream that ends with you like actually jolting in your bed?
Exactly.
That kind of thing?
Yeah. And or a crash. I've heard like a crash where there was no crash and been like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, that's so weird. Yeah. I also, this reminds me a lot of like brain zaps. I don't know if you guys have ever had those from like meds and stuff.
Those are the scariest because they don't warn you about them. And then I like wrote a thing about it once about going through withdrawal and just, and all these people were like, oh, I have that too. That's like the number one thing they should tell you when they put you on brain meds that they don't is that your brain will do these little zaps.
I got those from shingles, by the way. And not from meds, but I had shingles when I was like super duper stressed and it was right after I'd had a baby and I got shingles like on my neck and like it was really, I guess it was like the nerves, the closer they are to your head. But I remembered Molly telling me about them. I was like, these are brain zaps because they just feel like a little electrical current.
Yeah, it feels like a mini seizure in a way.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's also like they can do things to your brain by pressing on parts of them to sort of make some of these things happen, from what I understand. The thing that a lot of schizophrenic people have where they think they're being followed, there's like some part of the brain that controls the fact that your body feels like it's in your body And then there's like a part of the brain that if you press on it, it feels like your body is behind you or in front of you.
Ooh, somebody should do that to me.
I mean, just to bring it back to the chip, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to feel behind my body. I would like to.
Seems scary. I think auditory hallucinations are the scariest thing. And I tried to read that Oliver Sacks book about it at a period mm-hmm. when I was like maybe not doing great, and I immediately like had to stop reading it because it was just making me feel just afraid of things I didn't even know could happen to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do also hear people saying mommy a lot and think they're saying Molly. That happens constantly.
That's just mishearing, Molly. That's not an auditory
I know. I'm just saying, you never think someone's calling your name and you're like, no, they're saying mommy. It just sounds
my
similar.
Name is mommy, so it's even more confusing.
It's a premonition. Yeah, no, this like all of this stuff is just anything that makes you realize how soft and vulnerable the human brain is.
That's why it needs your skull.
It does need your
skull. Sure does.
It needs the pyramid to protect it, which is your skull. Yeah, no, this is super interesting. Well, do you want to take a quick break and come back with maybe one of the scariest night calls we've ever gotten?
Hell yes.
All right.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I never thought I'd take my 3 young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything. A moment that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these very moments.
The last couple of years has been the hardest season of our marriage, for sure. I'm surprised our marriage survived it. I think we both are. I think we both were barely holding on. Mm. Nothing compares to how hard this is.
Their stories are full of candor, awe, and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change.
true behavior change is really identity change. Every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become.
Listen to A Slight Change of Plans on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, this one is not exactly a dream email. We still wanted to talk about it because it does have to do with the subconscious. And I will admit, like, well, Tess first brought this one up to us and was like, this is really freaky. And I would concur. This is a rather upsetting night email, but I feel like we should read it.
But buckle up and make buckle sure up. That, yeah.
If you believe in demons, maybe, maybe tune out. But yeah. So this email comes to us from Sarah. I've cut it down a little bit, but she writes to us, "Dear Night Call, where do I start? Roughly 11 years ago, I believe I was possessed. I have zero recollection during that time, but what I can't forget is waking up to a face on my maw, which I'd never seen before or since. It was the summer and I was having trouble sleeping. The allotted unrest caused me to discover alpha, delta, gamma wave videos on YouTube and hence turned into a sort of obsessive sleep routine. I would set my laptop as close to closed as possible and try to settle in for the night as subtle affirmations surrounded me. Fast forward 3 days where I woke up partially under the bed with the room in disarray and my mother fuming in the doorway. She was midstream yelling at me when she realized I was listening, which brought on a spiel about my boss contacting her over missed work and how was she supposed to explain that. My mom, still seeming, explained the calendar days to me and eventually answered as to why she was so angry. Turns out I spent the whole time flopping around my sister's room as well as sleeping. On one of those days, she was concerned and tried feeding me water, to which I allegedly screamed at her, 'Keep your water off of me, you filthy whore,' and then proceeded to lick my own face wildly. Mind you, I had not eaten, drank, or relieved myself, and more importantly, my ma is close to a saint. I was utterly confused by all of her news, and I had made amends during the day, slept a ton more, and eventually turned back to YouTube for my bedtime routine. Here's the very disconcerting part. The only very disconcerting part.
Right.
I went to the last video I started nights earlier. Within the comments, someone said they had ran some frequency meter and was alerting the creator that the frequency stated was off just so, and was instead broadcasting something demonic. I know nothing of these things. The creator simply replied that he or she would look into it, but those comments were posted a long time before I found myself reading them. Because of this, I'm still terrified of that genre. I'm thinking she means a genre of YouTube video and the irresponsibility or malintent of people streaming it. I grew up a strict non-denominational Christian. We're talking an unbending schedule of at least 9 hours of church a week, disregarding the 30-minute drive each way. There were things about the Bible which seemed so unjust and terrifying to me, and the idea of being possessed was always one of them. And yet I think, in a way, I found myself full circle. I'm hopeful you or your listeners could shed some light on the matter."
Ooh.
Whew.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of thoughts on this one. Do you guys know of these videos by any chance? Because I wasn't really familiar.
I've heard of them, but not, I've never like investigated them, but I do. I think I found them when we were talking about ASMR a few years ago and found some of the like the beta wave things that are supposed to be
were
like
we
relaxing.
We're talking about it a little bit because that's what Denise Richards' husband does. I think I was mentioning it.
And it's the sound baths and stuff like that. Yeah. I think like some of those.
He has one that's like the peaceful frequency. So I watched a bunch of videos that were like whatever it was, 46 hertz or something. And it doesn't sound peaceful. It sounds like somebody doing a sound test. It's just like boop. And it's funny because people put it over New Age music because it's like this relaxing tone, but then it just sounds like an alarm or something interrupting New Age music. It's not very relaxing.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose if you're playing music in the middle of it? Like you're not getting a pure tone.
Well, you can get the pure tone if you want it. I would say I didn't feel the effects of the tone. Although I think tones can be very powerful. I believe in like the power of, you know, ancient drone music and stuff like that. I think music and sound can do things to your brain, can do things to your brain waves.
Yeah, I have a couple of like audio, like there, it's a podcast that has like a free yoga class on it. It's basically audio. And I was never listening to one of them all the way through because like the thing would be over and I just turn it off. And then I did one day and I realized that there was like a sound bath sequence at the end of it. So it was playing on my speakers and I accidentally, you know, I'm sitting there in Savasana and like suddenly like, and it's really intense, like even just over my speakers on a podcast, it was like this sort of vibrational thing where I was like, like you kind of feel, I mean, it is a peaceful feeling, but it definitely has a physiological effect on you.
Yeah.
And that's not even in person. That's not even being in some specially constructed acoustic setting. But like, this is a YouTube video that she's right. talking about. Like this is playing over laptop speakers.
I used to listen to white noise, like rainfall, and I would do the YouTube videos because I could notice when the sound resets and it would like, you know, just I didn't like that because I would start identifying like different beats in the little clip that they were using. So I found a YouTube of like a 10 or 11 hour long thunderstorm, and it was great like the first couple of times. But then I didn't know if it was, I think I was just being a little cuckoo, but I started listening and like hearing stuff under it. And then I was really freaked out and I didn't want to listen to it anymore. But we've talked so much on this podcast about YouTube and how YouTube is just, I mean, if there is the possibility of demonic possession, it would for sure exist yeah. on YouTube. That's like the first stop.
And if subliminal messaging does work in any way, there are definitely people trying subliminal messaging because it's so unregulated. Oh, yeah. I feel like you've talked a lot about how much insane stuff there is that comes up for kids.
That's why I'm so suspicious of YouTube all the time. I just remember, I mean, it was a real whole arc of like my son watching the truck videos, the truck music videos, and he was really getting a lot out of it. Then he was also doing some like learning videos. And then all of a sudden you just noticed that there would be these slight links between this video and the next video. And I mean, the stuff he saw was super, super, super concerning to the point where I think if you haven't seen those things, you read what people write about them and think that they're like suburban women losing their shit over nothing or like conspiracy theories. Legitimately, it was hard to even understand like what these videos, what their purpose was.
Right. No, they're legitimately super scary. And the way the YouTube videos just flow into each other, don't, you know, just keep loading new things and they all eventually funnel you to like Ben Shapiro because that's how their algorithm works.
It's also, though, even not even scarier than Ben Shapiro, but like in a whole different realm of scariness are the videos that are just strange. Like the yes. ones yeah. that we've talked about, you know, like WebDriver yeah. Torso and like what people think those are. Sweet Peach, exactly. And then you start thinking about like one, some of the ones that my son was watching were like cars, video game cars, just driving off cliffs and exploding.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
like
yeah.
you're just like, what? Why? Like, what's yeah. in here? Or like the ones that just seem off and you're, but otherwise are just kind of like, there's nothing happening. There's no clear purpose. There's no narrative. It just seems designed to kind of leave an impression on
and it's
you,
just like yeah. an experiment on their brains. Because mm-hmm. who knows? Yeah. It's just Clockwork Orange.
But like, I still feel like there's a difference between that stuff about that kind of possibly AI generated content, like some of those YouTube videos seems like they're doing the kind of SEO for like basically what children, like the ultimate channelers of id, are right. requesting on YouTube. So they're like, oh, we have a lot of searches for truck exploding into flames, let's make a CGI video of a truck exploding into flames so we can get those views from all those 8-year-olds, like which is, you know, very weird and disconcerting on its own, but you can kind of like connect some dots that are still upsetting. But like, mm-hmm. I do think that like in a very unscientific way, I feel like there is a possibility of like some of these tone videos, at least like in the way that meditation can kind of, you know, provide some clarity, or you can have epiphanies or whatever from meditation or from any kind of therapy too, honestly, like, I would not rule out the possibility. Like, I think the context of her having grown up in a non-denominational Christian household and going to church 9 hours a week and having, you know, even if she is like not a fan of that of the idea of demonic possession, like that stuff gets planted in your subconscious so hard, especially if you grow up with it as a child. And I think like, even if she doesn't subscribe to that now, I just like, it's really frightening to think that that could manifest itself in some way because you're in some kind of liminal or meditative state or whatever. And that, you know, that stuff that is in your nightmare fuel basically for the rest of your life kind of comes to the surface.
Right. And again, that's like what's so scary about the human brain is like,
yeah,
you can't necessarily control it. And the idea that somebody else might be trying to control it. I obviously do believe that there are people making YouTubes to try and hypnotize you.
Yeah.
Into whatever. And I do think that, like, yeah, something gets you in a vulnerable, semi-hypnotic state, and you have grown up with this idea of demonic possession. But also, maybe she was possessed by a demon.
I mean, I also just think that there are possible explanations for this that are not demonic possession. And definitely, I believe the emailer that her mom is nice and patient and great. But I also think that it's possible sometimes in extremely religious households to ignore things that are health or mental health related, and they kind of become, you know, what appears to be a demonic possession. But I know,
yes, totally.
Yeah, not to diagnose the emailer at all or anything, but there's also, I mean, seizures, for instance, high
totally.
Fevers, things like that. If someone refuses to like take you to a doctor, again, not saying that that's what happened.
Religious reasons, perhaps.
Yeah, even a panic attack, you know, anything dissociative. And it's just a scary feeling to feel like you are losing control of your brain or can't trust your own brain.
And it's made scarier if the person in whose care you're under isn't willing maybe to acknowledge that that could be the problem, and instead, you know, it assigns some kind of more supernatural or like evil sort of explanation for it, which I think can only compound any panic attack or whatever that you might be going through at the time, or any, you know, just sort of dissociative state. Which
it's also, I mean, you mentioned, the caller mentioned that, or the emailer mentioned that they were having trouble sleeping. And this kind of stuff can also happen if you, even if you think that you've been sleeping, if you feel like you haven't been sleeping, but, you know, there are times when you feel like you must have slept some, but you're not actually really falling asleep.
Yeah.
After a few days of that, it wouldn't really be like that outside of the realm of possibility that you would disassociate so much that your behavior would seem like what you're describing, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a generally safe and not at all paranoid rule of thumb, maybe, to not fall asleep with YouTube on.
That is very true. I mean, that's what I felt like. Eventually, I was like, you know, you're in a very suggestive state when you're trying to fall asleep. And then, you know, when I started like when I started thinking I hear stuff underneath, that's partially because when you listen to white noise, like that's what happens, is that if you're having trouble falling asleep, especially, you start to identify things that are annoying, that are keeping you up in the track that's meant to lull you.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, with YouTube, like someone might have even just been having a laugh with being like, here's some relaxing noises. And every so often I'll put in like an ee and kind of keep you awake.
Or maybe it was just a natural thunderstorm noise, but your brain was interpreting it as creepy in some way.
That's almost certainly what it was. I mean, but I don't know.
You know what I recommend? Because I have gone through the same thing, is explore.org. As I always recommend, the live earth cams. You can often find one that's like an actual nature sound, and it will just... Yeah, because I have the same problem with, like, once I hear looping, it doesn't relax me ever again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You realize you're in a simulacrum.
Yeah.
Thunderstorm or whatever.
I wonder if the demonic tones thing, though, because a friend of the pod, Carter Cruz, also was talking about somebody who she was following who talked about how, like, EDM has a demonic note in it. And there was,
really?
Like, this demonic note sort of conspiracy that, again, I was like, I don't
Like the devil's, like the tritone?
Yeah, basically.
I want to know what this note sounds like. What do you think the demonic note sounds like?
I mean,
you should find it.
I think the demonic tritone is just making me imagine like a Dracula church organ, you know, just some minor keys, probably.
I'm going to try to find a tritone.
That's it right there. That's the demonic tone.
Oh, yeah, totally. The sound of a garbage truck.
We just got
it. Squealing. Is a demonic tone. But I feel like anything can become demonic. Remember when we had the whole ice cream truck saga early on in the podcast? Somebody was getting sent the sound of an ice cream truck, and it's just one of the creepiest things for whatever reason, because it's so
and then,
whole.
Hello!
Hello!
That one is in North Carolina. Like I heard that one all the time, the hello on the ice cream truck.
So and good. Anything can get creepy if it's repeated enough. Mm-hmm. And I just also think tempo, you know, like very fast music makes me feel stressed out. Sometimes I want that. There's another thing that's like the sound of falling downstairs. It's like the permanent spiral. It's a musical thing. They do it in a Mario game for an endless staircase. It is basically just, it just sounds like it's going down always, but it's always just the same. If you know anything else about demonic music or music and hypnosis, devil tones, you should give us a night call about it at 240-469.
Yeah. And also, if you have any insight on this caller's experience with the alpha and gamma tones in YouTube/any suspected demonic possessions yourself. Please let us know all about that.
I also feel like it can feel like you're being possessed when you have the sleep demon sitting on your chest. Do you ever get trapped in like a nap and you try to wake up and
like sleep paralysis?
Yeah. That can feel like possession to me, where you're like trying to get out of a dream, Nightmare on Elm Street style-y.
I've thankfully never really had that before. Dodged that one.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening to Night Call. If you have a story about dreams, pyramids, anything else, please give us a night call at 240-46-NIGHT. You can also text us at that number or email us at nightcallpodcast@gmail.com. If you are enjoying the pod, please leave us a rating and review. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/nightcall and follow us on social media. We are Night Call Pod on Twitter, Night Call Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.